Good day, everyone. Welcome to today's Cigna Drug and Alcohol Awareness Series call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Amy Papageorge. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Cigna's Drug and Alcohol Awareness Series. My name is Amy Papageorge, and I'm a therapist and care manager for the outpatient team at Cigna. Due to the format of this seminar, you will not be able to ask questions during the talk, but there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. Following today's presentation, you will be asked to participate in a brief 5-question survey so that we can get your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After the survey, you will be able to ask our speaker questions regarding his talk. Please limit your questions to the seminar topic. If you have specific questions regarding substance abuse treatment or your policy, please contact the outpatient team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. There is a PowerPoint for today's seminar available online. To access the PowerPoint, go to www.cigna.com/substance abuse and then click on today's presentation. Again, that's www.cigna.com/substance abuse and then click on today's presentation. Today I have the pleasure of introducing Justin Mazio. Since 2007, Justin has traveled across Texas advocating for intervention on behalf of children exposed to drug environments and has assisted communities in building collaborative, multidisciplinary alliances. He has directly trained or facilitated trainings for over 10,000 Texas professionals and non-professionals and currently serves as Community Coalition Coordinator for the Alliance on Underage Drinking, otherwise known as ALOUD, a program of the Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. Justin?
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. If you haven't pulled up the PowerPoint, please, I do encourage it. There are a lot of pictures, and I will do my best to describe those pictures to you, but it is very visual as far as seeing what these things look like and some of the things we're going to talk about, what they look like. Just a brief overview of what we're going to talk about, and it's going to be a lot of information in a very short period of time, so bear with me. We're going to talk about synthetic drugs, synthetic marijuana, synthetic stimulants, some alcohol trends, some relaxation trends, a few tobacco and nicotine trends that we're seeing, and also prescription drug trends, as well as an additional trend we'll talk about at the end. Okay, so really what this is about and this presentation is about is figuring out what are our youth facing, because it's out there, these things are out there, this is happening right now, and if we don't educate ourselves, there's no way we can really understand our youth, speak to our youth about it, speak to ourselves and our peers about it without the information, because there's as much misinformation as there is actual information on or accurate information. So starting with the synthetic trends, synthetic marijuana, it's an herbal mixture. It's sold as incense. It's sold as a lot of different things, but incense is the predominant one. You'll hear about it as K2, K3, spice, mojo, genie. There's a lot of different names they use for it, and this is a recurring theme you'll notice. It's all about the marketing for these individuals, and it's all about kind of figuring out ways to get into what turns out to be the adolescent mind and the child's mind, because it's about making these things seem like it's something fun, something legal, something safe. It's used by smoking. It can be made as an herbal infusion for drinking. Now, basically, the plant matter itself doesn't matter. It could be oregano. It could be grass clippings. It could be whatever. It's the chemical that's sprayed onto it. It's labeled as not for human consumption, which is why it's not approved or regulated by the FDA. The Texas legislature has banned it in 2011, but one of the things about K2 and about synthetic marijuana is that it started out as a scientist basically came up with the idea to do a study on THC, which is the active chemical in marijuana, and seeing if it had any medical benefit to it. So he came up with basically a THC replacement or something that is basically acts as THC. And he's used on lab animals, not humans, and even to this day he says, I can't believe that people are even using derivations of my product for human consumption because it was never intended for that. So somebody got his original formula, started using it, and now the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, started cracking down on that, and the legislature started banning certain chemical combinations. And what happened was this effect that we're still seeing today, this ripple effect, is that scientists who are less capable than the original manufacturer start changing one or two chemical compounds here or there. and they change them, and they don't do any studies on it. They don't ever assume that they know what that's going to do, how that's going to affect a person. But what it does is it allows them for a brief period of time before the DEA catches up and legislature catches up to sell, quote-unquote, legally, because, again, it's labeled as a dietary supplement. It's not regulated by the FDA. So what's happened is now we're seeing some more of these severe cases of kids especially losing their lives because of this, because if you smoked K2 a year ago or 6 months ago or a month ago, you don't know what this batch is, who made it, what the changes were, what those changes are going to do to your body. And so it's very scary. It's a very scary thing because they're so unpredictable and it keeps changing. You're never going to know because, again, this entire ripple effect has started. All right. So the danger is, number one, ease of access. It's very easy, and we'll talk about some of the ways they can, kids can get their hands on it. Very easy to get. Widespread misinformation. A lot of it is, okay, it's a safe, it's a legal high, and a lot of the reason is the marketing behind it. And we'll talk about some of that when we look at some of the websites that are selling. There's a huge absence of regulation because of, as I mentioned, that ripple effect of changing all the chemical compounds basically constantly. And so you have all these different formulas, and you're just banning hundreds and hundreds of chemical compounds as fast as you can, but unfortunately it leaves a little bit of leeway open. Hugely unpredictable side effects for the reasons I mentioned, and there's really unknown long-term health effects as well for it, because we haven't had the time to study what is really going on, and also we haven't had the time to study, which will be very difficult in the future, the time to study what different strains or different chemical combinations, what effects they have, and how do they interact with each other. So there's a huge, huge scare here as far as what we're going to see in, 10, 15 years. Next slide, it's a past year use of illicit drugs by high school seniors. This is a 2012 study. Marijuana, number one, at 36%, but synthetic marijuana for high school seniors, and this is scary because this is a past couple of year thing, but almost 12%. Or 11.3% of high school seniors have used synthetic marijuana. So it's hugely prevalent because hallucinogen, salvia, ecstasy, cocaine, way, way, way lower than synthetic marijuana, which has already risen to number two. So how does it affect the mind? The effects are very similar to marijuana. Originally, they were supposed to be very similar to marijuana. Now, all sorts of things like paranoia, panic attacks, hallucinations, giddiness, increases the heart rate and the blood pressure, vomiting, dilated pupils, seizures. Again, long-term effects are not known, but you look at all those things, and of course, that's what every teenager wants, right, is hallucinations and vomiting. But unfortunately, this is what happens when we're using something like K2 or synthetic marijuana, because there are a lot of different brand names. The next is a chart of the poison control cases. I'm going to kind of skip by that for the time, but basically what it's saying is every time the Texas ban or the U.S. ban happens, K2 bounces back. Next slide is a bunch of pictures of the packaging. You can see here it's very slickly packaged. It's very looks like something that would be a legitimate product. And so you see the different flavors, blue, peach, mint, latte, blonde, silver, pink, summit. And K2, by the way, the name K2 comes from the mountain K2, which is the second tallest mountain in the world, which is what they're saying. It's the second best high to marijuana. It's a kind of tongue-in-cheek thing. Another picture here, this is K4. Spice looks like this, kind of, again, very slick marketing and packaging. It looks like it could be legitimate. It looks like something that maybe somebody, and kids these days do grow up thinking, and I guess this is a good thing, that the FDA or somebody is looking after all the products that are there. And unfortunately, that's not the case, and we're having kids lose their lives as a result. So are they legal? No, they are not legal. The Synthetic Drug Abuse Prevention Act of 2012. Basically banned synthetic, some of the chemicals, but again, the other similar compounds can be easily created to really circumvent this act. It is classified as a Schedule 1 in the Controlled Substance Act by the DEA, which means it has no medical benefit and a high propensity for addiction. So there's really, really bad stuff. Now, next. And also, as we know, the new compounds are far more dangerous. Okay. You can see here, too, this is a website, k2herbstore.com, and this is just one of the many, many, many websites that sell synthetic marijuana or all sorts of synthetics. But this is why it's so dangerous for teens especially. because you can see the social media savvy on the right side there. K2 Herb Store on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. This website looks like Amazon. It looks like something that's very well professionally put together. And they talk about things like our K2 blends are now 100% legal everywhere. Now, red flag number one should be if somebody says now they're 100% legal, that is inferring that they weren't 100% legal at all times. But, again, especially young children and teenagers, they won't believe that, or they'll believe that, okay, 100% legal, that sounds good. And you go more in-depth to their about page, and you can notice that in every single paragraph here, they're talking about the DEA a lot, which would be red flag number two. Is if you're buying something from a website that you're about to put in your body, and it's talking about DEA, 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 probably not good. And then there's, again, more misinformation in the first paragraph. All products comply with current and proposed legislation and are DEA approved. Now, for a teenager, they might not understand this, but the DEA doesn't approve things. The DEA bans and prosecutes on things. They don't approve anything. What they're meaning was at this point when they posted this, and you don't know when that was, that chemical compound had not been banned yet. But kids, again, will read through this and they'll think, okay, DEA approved, DEA approved. They don't contain any DEA banned substances. 100% legal everywhere, 100% legal everywhere. So a lot of times, again, if this is the information they're getting and they're not getting any other information about what K2 is or what it is and how it can affect the body, and this is all they see, it's cool, the packaging's cool, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. Now, they talk about not for human consumption, herbal incense, to get around more aggressive legislation. But then you go to the next slide, which is their Facebook page. This is on April 20th. Happy 420, everyone. Get your smoke on today. So, again, not for human consumption is the message they send out, but then on their Facebook page, it's get your smoke on today. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of mixed messaging and a lot of kind of lying and backhanding because it's all about the money, and that's really what this is all about. It's how to make as much money as possible through something like this. This next one is another one, the official K2 Incense page. I like this one especially because it's got that live chat there with an attractive-looking blonde woman who's ready for you 24 hours a day to, if you can't get your drugs fast enough, she can help you. Online advice, how to get your K2 Incense. And again, the packaging, really, really, really slick. And it's got collectors type. You want to get all different types. They come in tins like that as well. Very pretty. It's pretty cheap to get as well. And if you get access to a credit card, you can basically order this online, which makes it very scary because we know all the health effects and all the scary backstory to it is that they're changing these chemicals and this random chemicals that people, or individuals are putting into their body, and they don't know what they're going to get, which batch is going to be what. And the face of it is this attractive blonde woman who's there to help you, or this really cool website with a devil cartoon on it, and just looks slick. It looks like it wouldn't kill you. It wouldn't hurt you. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So we have to be able to be educated, because this is the realm that our children, our youth, work in. Like, this is their life. They see this all the time. And unfortunately, they don't see what they would think of as the more stale stuff, which is the sobering effects of knowing how this can actually affect your body. So synthetic stimulants is our next topic. Synthetic stimulants are basically what we call bath salts is the most popular version. Just like K2 is to synthetic marijuana, bath salts is to synthetic stimulants. Now, what are they? They're synthetic stimulants or cathinones. They are synthetic derivatives of cathinone, which is a central nervous system stimulant. So basically, it's designed to mimic something like methamphetamine or cocaine. It's a stimulant. It's sold as bath salts, plant food, glass cleaner, again, dietary supplements, sold in powder form, small plastic or foil package, all sorts of packaging. It's not just the traditional ways. And the interesting thing, too, is because of this packaging, especially for parents, you can look at some of this packaging, and we'll see some coming up, that look basically like something legitimate. And especially if you're thinking of a dresser drawer or in the bathroom counter and all the different products and you don't know exactly what all of them are, it could easily blend in. It's not just like a baggie of weed, or it's not cocaine rolled up in a tinfoil or something like that. It blends in very easily with all the other colors and things like that that legitimate products have on them. So it's used by sniffing or snorting. You can also take it orally or smoke it or inject it. Its effects are very similar to amphetamines or cocaine. It's, again, labeled as not intended for human consumption. But, as we know, that's not the case, and that's not the usage pattern. No matter how it's labeled or no matter what the marketing is, we always have to look at the usage pattern. How is it being used? What is it doing? And what are kids doing with it? So how do they affect the body? Like many other stimulants, rapid heart rate, risk of heart attack, stroke, nosebleed, sweating, vomiting, dizziness, paranoia, other delusions, suicidal thoughts, seizures, panic attacks, insomnia, all of these things that we think of with major stimulants like amphetamines, they also happen in these synthetic cathinones. Unfortunately, too, just like with methamphetamine, different batches, different potencies, different reactions, different impurities, whatever it is, it affects everybody differently, number one, because anything we put in our body affects us differently depending on the person, all sorts of individual characteristics. But also think about the fact that all of these things might affect differently on different people. And so when you're using, especially in a social setting where you're sharing, you don't know exactly who's going to react in what way and how their body's going to react. And it puts a lot of risk there for kids because they see someone else using it and it affects them in a certain way and they want that effect. Now they use the same thing, it affects them differently, and now we have an unfortunate situation. Especially people losing their lives, they don't go into it thinking, I'm going to die because of this, or they don't go into it thinking, I'm going to have hallucinations and seriously injure somebody because of it. But really what it comes down to is that these people are basically putting something into their body that they don't know how it's going to affect them. Again, the CDC chart is up here for disease poison control center calls, and basically the interesting thing that's different between synthetic stimulants and between synthetic marijuana is that when the bans came in, the number has really gone down and it's kind of stayed low when it comes to synthetic stimulants. And a lot of that is because, and this is some of you may be familiar with this is almost probably a year ago now, it was the idea of the face-eating zombie with bath salts. And it was down in Miami, and it didn't actually turn out to be bath salts, but it was national news about the idea of bath salts turn you into this crazy zombie. There was a homeless man who ate another man's face. Turns out he had mental health issues, and the only thing in his system was marijuana. But that said, it still got a lot of publicity that turned into this idea that, okay, where synthetic marijuana, the public perception that we have to deal with, unfortunately, is that, okay, this is just like marijuana, and that must mean it's safe and healthy and things like that for kids, especially these days. We have to deal with the fact that at least with bath salts, kids are thinking that's not as fun because I don't want to eat a neighbor's dog or I don't want to confront somebody naked in a park or something like that. So there is a usage pattern that's slowing and going down. Unfortunately, it hasn't gone away because it is highly addictive. Schedule 1, again, huge propensity for addiction, and they start once or twice, and it becomes very difficult for them to break that pattern, which becomes, unfortunately, a treatment situation at that point. What do they look like? If you can see here is Cloud 9, Vanilla Sky or Ivory Wave. Very soothing. They're packaged like actual bath salts. But if you ask any teenager today what a bath salt is or if they use bath salts, the percentage is going to be very low that's something that's in the vernacular for teenagers. But again, the packaging looks very slick. It could be something you could find in a bathroom anywhere, and you wouldn't think twice about it. If you saw it on the edge of a tub, you wouldn't think twice about what that is. But it is a synthetic stimulant, and it's packaged to look like an actual bath salt, but you can't use it that way and get any really real effect. As far as the bath salt or the aroma or something like that, it's used to snort to create this stimulant rush. So it's Cloud 9, high-quality bath salt. Again, some of it, the marketing is very provocative and very trying to toe the line and kind of stick it to the man who's trying to shut them down. So they talk about Cloud 9 or K2 or something along those lines. The next slide is what do they look like again, but this is an interesting one because they say not for human consumption and it's actually a bath salt, but you go to a website and you see a picture of the Ivory Wave with a rolled-up $5 bill next to it. So what is that saying about usage patterns? It's not saying it's $5. It's saying this is basically a way to use Ivory Wave and it's not put it in your bath. Next slide. Again, this is one that really scares me. It's pump it powder, and it looks like any sort of cosmetic would look like. If you just saw that on a shelf somewhere, you would, among all the other cosmetics or things like that, you'd think this is just, there's no possible way, because you're not going to go through and sniff and snort everything on that counter, so you wouldn't ever know what this is. And again, it's just another synthetic stimulant. The packaging is a little provocative because you see people having a great time partying, and it's kind of saying, use pump it powder and that's going to be your lifestyle. Just the same with the websites. This is the next slide. You can see it's got a chat live on the top, 1-800 number. This one's actually out of the Highlands in Texas, which is interesting to me. That even here in Texas, yes, we're selling and making money off of bath salts. Very slick marketing, again, collected all with a new variety packs, things like that. Legal products available for each USA state, which is a common thread you'll see through all these websites, is now in the red, is legal available for each USA state. Legal available. If you go to buy anything on Amazon, they're not really going to say it's legal in each USA state. If you go to any sort of legitimate vendor, that's not your number one concern, is this legal in every state? But this is, again, it looks just like kind of a normal site. It's got, if they got access to a credit card, they can enter it into their cart, get it shipped. It looks just like anything else. You can blend in very easily, but it's a synthetic stimulant that's just as dangerous as cocaine or methamphetamine, if not more so, because, again, the purities change and the chemical conditions change. The 2C series are smiles. It's a designer psychedelic. This is basically a stimulant, or it's not a stimulant, it's a synthetic LSD. So as synthetic stimulants are like cocaine or methamphetamine, and synthetic marijuana is like marijuana, this is a synthetic LSD, which is synthetic in itself, so that's kind of an oxymoron. But this is designed to mistake or to have hallucinogenic effects. It's just a white powder. You can use it in a tablet form, or you can put it on a stamp or a sugar cube, just like LSD. The high can last up to 12 hours, which is very scary. It was linked to deaths in California, Minnesota, North Dakota. Also a Schedule I drug, high propensity for addiction, no medical benefit. Looks just like this, just like a powder. You could put it in anything. You'd never really know what it is. But the power of it is the hallucinogenic effects, linked to deaths, and 12-hour high, or whatever is equivalent of a high for a trip. But that's, again, very dangerous. Just looks very innocuous as well. Alcohol trends, and you may think alcohol has kind of been done with. But alcohol trends, there are some new trends. Vapertini is a big way, or at least 6 months ago, it's been a very big thing. They set up basically vapor bars, and not the vapor bars like e-cigarettes, which we'll talk about, but vapor bars for inhaling alcohol. It's labeled as a revolutionary new way of consuming alcohol. It's absorbed directly into the bloodstream. They suggest 80 proof or higher, so very high proof alcohol. The kit includes a glass globe, a metal ring, a plastic funnel, and the kit itself costs about $35. And, of course, it's illegal because it is alcohol, so that's not an illegal thing, but again, we have to look at the usage patterns. So we have very high proof alcohol. It's very trendy. You sit at the bar, you get your little candle or whatever your heating element is, you set up the ring around the top, the glass with the high proof alcohol, and you just inhale it. Now, unfortunately, the usage pattern is you also probably have a drink with you. So you're inhaling a huge amount of alcohol, you're also taking liquid alcohol, and so there's a huge propensity for overdose, especially with people who don't know, because we don't know. We'll know what a shot is or what a beer is or how that affects us, and maybe as adults of age adults, we can know how this affects our body and pace ourselves and make healthy choices because our frontal cortex is developed and things like that. But if we're using this as a youth or something along those lines and we're thinking it's trendy and fun and cool, we're a huge propensity for alcohol overdose. Just a little diagram of the kit there. Again, very simple. Heating element, ring to keep the globe, put the alcohol in the globe, and then you put the straw in. Whipahol, going along the same lines. Whipahol is, again, totally legal. It's an alcohol-infused whipped cream. It's called whipped cream with a twist is how it's marketed. Popular brand is Whip Lightning. The alcohol content does vary, but it's very high, actually, 16.75% to 18.25% for this whipped cream that basically has alcohol in it. Comes in all sorts of whipped cream flavors, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, passion, tropical passion, coconut, caramel, pecan, all sorts of flavors. And they also are very active on social media. They have desserts, shots, cocktails, recipes, things along those lines. It looks something like this, which if you just saw it in a refrigerator, you'd think that's whipped cream, and you wouldn't think twice about it, but it is very high content alcohol in them. So now, okay, we think that's maybe not a terrible thing. It's just alcohol for adults, no problem. Healthy choices, you know, you drink responsibly, all those campaigns, things like that. But then we go to the Facebook page on the next slide, and we see couple things. That's one of the things on their Facebook page is the usage patterns. That doesn't look like a healthy choice to me to spray it directly into their mouths. But you have whipped cream, what do you do with whipped cream? Especially when you're a youth. Of course, you just spray it directly in your mouth. So it's basically doing shots in a whipped cream format. The other interesting thing to me is that all of the recipes on their website are basically revolving around other alcohol. So it's taking alcohol and putting alcohol on top of alcohol. So now we're just, again, upping the ante, which can be extremely dangerous, especially for youth. We go again to their Facebook page, and here's what you see. We have Jell-O shots, very high-proof alcohol traditionally, and now we're spraying alcohol on top of the high-proof alcohol, and maybe we're having a beer along with it, and it's just depressant upon depressant upon depressant, and it lowers all of our functioning, obviously, our respiratory system, our circulatory system, our cognition changes, and now we have kids who are basically just bottoming out, and then you go to sleep, and that's one more tick on the depressant scale, and everything slows down so much that maybe you don't make it out of it, because unfortunately, this is alcohol on top of alcohol, and the behavior patterns are everything's a party, let's use as much as we can, and unfortunately, it is a risk for kids, so it's something to keep your eyes out for. There are a lot of relaxation trends as well, which is very interesting to me because a lot of this relaxation trend stuff came from the idea of all the stimulants and the energy drinks. And from a marketing background, it's fascinating that the market became developed because so many of our kids these days, and even adults, are on 5-hour energy and coffee and coffee and coffee, and caffeine level is going way up. And that's one thing, too, that is not in the slides, but Amy will send out a link for you for an article on powdered caffeine, which is a new thing we're seeing. It was linked to the death of an Ohio teenager recently. What it is, it's unregulated, easy to buy. You can buy it at GNC, I've heard. Partygoers take it to combat the depressant effects of alcohol. So basically, we're trying to combat the idea that we've had too many depressants with using this powdered cocaine. Now, this is interesting and scary. 3 grams, 1 teaspoon, of the powdered caffeine is equal to 25 cups of coffee. So the difference between a safe amount and a lethal dose is very small, according to the FDA, which is very true. Think about that. 1 teaspoon is equal to 25 cups of coffee. So think about you're adding depressants, and then you're throwing this in, you're mixing this in to whatever, and you're really messing with your internal body chemistry, which puts you at a great amount of risk because everything's very carefully regulated and balanced in our natural bodies, and we're just kind of messing with everything. So the relaxation trends came about because of a lot of these ideas of this high-energy, high-caffeine lifestyle. Drank was one example of it. The original Drank, which is known as lean syrup, purple stuff, was a soft drink mixed with prescription cough syrup containing codeine or promethazine. Became popular in Houston, actually, with DJ Screw and the 3-6 Mafia. Huge potential for abuse. I know in recent years there have been a lot of NFL players who developed addictions to codeine, especially. That's why it's a prescription drug. And also DJ Screw himself died of a codeine overdose. But now there's the new Drank. The new Drank looks like that next slide, and this is their website. They're basically piggybacking off of the whole hip-hop lifestyle, DJ Screw movement, and they're trying to say, here's a way to get you lean on with a product that's legal. Now, it's listed as a dietary supplement, again, which seems like a common theme, but you can buy it in supermarkets. I've seen it in Kroger. It's basically a combination of different effects. Contains valerian root, rosehip, and melatonin. Melatonin is the one that really scares the FDA because melatonin is a very important chemical receptor, and messing with it in even little ways is very scary to the FDA, especially when you combine it with other things, because we go back to the usage patterns. And that, what are they using this for? Are they just drinking it by itself? Are they drinking the recommended dosages? Are they drinking just what they should be? Or are they using it in combination with other things? Because we're taking our body chemistry and we're just, you know, playing God with it, basically flipping a light switch off and on and trying to figure out where's the exact way we want to be versus just having a natural body and letting that naturally take care of itself. Where is it sold? This is an unfortunate thing, again, because now you have your Kool-Aid jammers, things like that, and you have your drank and your lean. Now, one of the issues, too, is with children, especially using something like melatonin and the valerian, the combination of those depressants is really dangerous for small children because their bodies metabolize a lot faster. And if you're placing it right next to Kool-Aid jammers, they're not going to know necessarily the difference. And if they bring that to the counter, the parent's in a hurry, says, sure, whatever, it's just like a soda, something else. We don't know what they're doing. How's it marketed? Again, you can see the picture on the Facebook page. They say, okay, well, it's just a relaxation beverage, but you see definite alcohol and everything else, and this is kind of how they market it. Very much tied to that DJ Screw movement, Jolly Ranchers mixed in, cups mixing with other alcohol, which is a scary thing because, again, you have a depressant, and now you're adding another depressant, and you're messing with body chemistry. The next slide is from their website, the about part of their website, which is always the fascinating part to me. They talk about who is drinking, drank, and why they love it. So number one, we have our favorite rappers, again, touching into the hip-hop community. They have a refined style and a smooth flavor that speaks to the young souls of people of all ages. Then we have athletes and workout freaks, because they use all the ingredients to maintain a relaxed body and help the body promote healthy recovery after a rigorous workout. And you'll notice, if you look at the slide, there's a lot of asterisks after pretty much everything. And if you scroll down far enough on the website, basically what they say is, at the asterisk, they say, we can't prove any of this. But unfortunately, this is what, no one's going to scroll all the way down. This is the first things you'll read. I'm a student. I'm an athlete. I like hip-hop. And this is why it tries to appeal to all of those. It's all about the marketing. It's all about trying to get students, especially young children, to put something in their bodies that's very dangerous for them. Just in the sense that if you're combining with other things and you're messing with your body's internal chemistry, especially in a time where your body and your brain are developing, and they need all of that to develop, especially develop naturally, and some of this can block out some of those receptors or changes the balance of the brain chemistry, it really puts kids at a huge amount of risk. There you see Purple Stuff, which is another brand, same kind of thing. It's in Kroger right there. Lazy Cakes. Lazy Cakes are, again, a blend of melatonin, valerian root, rose hips, and passion flower, and they put it in a brownie. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. The recommended serving size for an adult is one half of one cake. Now, if you look at the cake there, you see it's not a resealable package. So now who's going to open it up as an adult and cut one half and eat that, and that's in a 24-hour period? They recommend you take only one half in a 24-hour period. So think about how potent they must be that a grown adult can only eat one half of this cake in a 24-hour period safely. Then you think about, what if a child gets their hand on it? And what are children like? They say they're marketing only to adults, adults only. But then you look at their website. Bright colors, little cartoon guy. It's got, what does he like? Daydreaming, fresh waves, mellow beats, extreme vegging. It's marketed to basically look like a pot brownie, but they say they're only doing it for adults. And again, I want you to remember the potency of it. One half of one cake for a 24-hour period for an adult. Now, if a child gets their hand on a brownie, are they going to eat one half? Are they going to eat one quarter? Are they going to eat the whole thing? Think about how that could affect their chemistry, the body chemistry, everything else, if it's that potent. On their about page, Lazy Lab supplement squares are recommended for adults only in caps, so they're really scared about this. Because usually they try to like just kind of bury that in the small text. But again, you see a lot of asterisks. Again, perfectly safe for adults. These are not dietary supplements for children. In caps, not. So now we say we're not for children. It's all about adults. And you look at the website, and they have the Lazy Shop with iHeart Lazy Larry bookmarks. Okay? So think about that and the marketing versus what they say. It's always very, very stark as far as the difference goes. There is a big tobacco trend going on, which is dissolvable tobacco, as well as e-cigarettes we'll talk about, but dissolvable tobacco. They really were dissolved, along with e-cigarettes, developed to get rid of or get around smoke-free ordinances, which are becoming more and more prevalent in workplaces, in bars and restaurants, everywhere really. Smoke-free ordinances are coming in, so people, tobacco companies with a lot of money behind them think, okay, how can we get around this? And so they find new smokeless, because they figure out, okay, the smoke-free ordinance is about smoke, so let's remove the smoke part, and we'll either call it vapor or we'll call it dissolvable, and now we're still introducing tobacco and all the effects of it, but we're getting around the smoke part. So it's basically, some people think it's a safe alternative. The marketing becomes crucial, once again. They come in sticks, orbs, and strips. In most cases, this is Camel's brand. And you look at the branding here, it looks very slick, very slick. Here are the orbs, which look, basically, if you're looking at them, exactly like Tic Tacs. They look, if you put them in a Tic Tac container, you would not know that's tobacco. And it's just basically small pellets. Dissolves in your mouth, lasts about 15 minutes. It's just finely ground tobacco. It's basically a cigarette ground down into something that can be dissolved into your mouth. Comes in other brands as well. Camel sticks are a big one, too. These are just like a toothpick. It looks like a toothpick. You saw somebody chewing on it, you wouldn't think twice about it. It is, again, compressed tobacco shaped into a stick. This one lasts about 20 or 30 minutes, so a little bit longer on the stick. Marlboro makes their brand as well. And then strips. And this one, to me, is kind of the most disgusting. But it dissolves about 3 minutes. It's like a Listerine breath strip. You just kind of stick it on your tongue, and the tobacco goes directly into your bloodstream, essentially. For somebody who, again, is wanting to smoke but be very discreet about it. So when I talk to educators especially, this becomes an interesting thing because they can hide these, students can hide these so easily. Case in point is the next slide. You see actual Tic Tacs next to the Camel orbs there, and they look exactly the same. That actual packaging on that Camel orbs box right there got removed because of there's a parent group that got up in arms about this is unacceptable because if you can't even read the words dissolvable tobacco, all you see is orbs and fresh and a logo. And if you don't understand the logo is Camel, which means tobacco, then you would just be thinking that's anything. Now, that's not just my speculation. This is actually a study done by the Virginia Foundation for Healthy Youth, and they got these packaging out. So they're packaged in bright colors, like we know. They're easily concealable. Now, in this study, 39% of youth mistook the orbs for breath mints. So that's not a shocking figure because we think, yeah, they look exactly like breath mints. But this thing that scares me is this next one. 28% of youth said they would try Camel orbs based on the packaging alone. 28%, 1 in 4, would say that, okay, we'll try the Camel orbs based on the packaging alone, meaning if their friend hands it out to them and says, hey, take one, they'll look at the package, they'll give it a shot. And it's tobacco. It's just like saying, here's a cigarette, try it. So we have this whole new generation, and the tobacco companies are very savvy, this whole new generation of kids who can get hooked on tobacco very easily because the packaging is so slick. E-cigarettes. Very controversial, I know. They're vapor bars popping up everywhere. They're basically designed. There's one common misconception is that they're a cessation device, meaning that they're there to help you quit smoking. They weren't designed for that. They were designed to get around ordinances. But could you use an e-cigarette as a cessation device? Yes, you could step down from that. But that said, you can use a cigarette as a cessation device, meaning you can smoke less cigarettes every day until you have none. It's just the exact same thing. And unfortunately, e-cigarettes, one of the things we're seeing, because of the design of them, is basically you put the cartridge in, and you can put whatever you want in the cartridge. And we're seeing more and more combinations of things like THC oil and PCP and things like that put into the cartridge, because it becomes vaporized, and you can smoke it just like anything else. The battery goes into the atomizer, charges the atomizer atomizes whatever's in the cartridge. Slick marketing, once again, looks very cool. Some of them have little LEDs in the front, so when you breathe into them, they light up. So very popular with the college crowd, especially, because they look cool, and there's a common misconception that they're safe or they're better for you. We don't know what they are yet. A lot of the chemicals that are found in them have been found in things like antifreeze. So it's not this, the common misconception is this is a safe way to smoke and it's not a safe way to smoke. The big takeaway there is to say we shouldn't be putting anything in our bodies, and especially educating youth. It's what's wrong with your body as it is that you need to put anything else into it that's not healthy or not something that's going to benefit you. It's something that alters your brain chemistry or something like that. It's just start at nothing and go from there. Last thing I want to talk about is prescription drugs. Prescription drugs, it's not really a current trend, but it's unfortunately growing and growing and growing and becoming stronger. We do know that more Americans die from drug overdoses than car crashes. Unfortunately, it's an increasing trend driven by prescription painkillers. Think about that. All the cars driving around right now in all the cities in all of America and all the crashes they're having, prescription painkillers are killing more people than that as we speak. That's a really unfortunate thing. Two-thirds of teens who do abuse prescription pain relievers say they get them from family members and friends. They're not getting them from a back alley and a drug dealer. They're getting them from either a friend or from a family member. Because we have such an overabundance, and this is the last 20 years of overprescribing, we have this huge, huge, huge supply. It's one of the reasons that we have all these prescription drug take-back events throughout your community, because they're trying to reduce that supply. Because unfortunately, there's so many kids. As you can see on the two slides later, one in four teens report having misused or abused a prescription drug in their lifetime. It was 18% in 2008, in 2012, 24%. One-fourth of teens has misused or abused a prescription drug, and that number is just climbing. 33% increase in a five-year period, it's only going to go up because kids have access to it. That's one of the problems is now if one in four students, if you're in a class of 20, that means five kids in there have misused prescription drugs. Now, if you're another student who maybe is not predisposed to anything like this, as far as being a drug dealer or anything like that, and you're at an elderly relative's home, and say you just see their medicine cabinet, and there's all these prescription drugs that are never being used, and you know you go to class in your class of 20, and there's five kids there that at least would try it, would use it. It's quick money, it's accessible, and it's just so prevalent. And what happens is because of prescription drugs, and the reason they're prescription is because a lot of them have a high propensity for addiction. So we see more and more kids getting into a stage where they develop addictions. We're also seeing a very stark increase among youth in heroin. And the reason the heroin use is going up is because we have kids who are stuck on prescription painkillers, prescription opiates, and that became too expensive for their habit. And so they're shifting down because the addiction is still there and they still need the opiate. But now they're shifting down to the cheaper alternative, which is heroin. And we're seeing young, young kids, I mean, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids who are developing heroin addictions. It's very scary. Most commonly abused pain relievers, stimulants, depressants, and over-the-counter, especially the younger children, the over-the-counter cough and cold medication. We said that 60% or 65% of teens said they get them from family members and friends, 22%. And this scares me. 22% of teens say they're given a prescription not meant to them by their parent. So we have parents who now are becoming physicians and trying to medicate their children. And whether it's in a high-intensity environment, you say, okay, well, you can't go to sleep. Here's a downer. Oh, you can't stay awake. Here's an upper. Here, I got all this prescription medication. I'm your parent. I can give it to you. 22% of teens are giving this medication not meant for them by their parent. So what can we do? Obviously safeguard our medications. Dispose of unwanted or expired medications. Do not flush them down the toilet because it goes into the water table, and then unfortunately we have that issue as well in our society. Also monitor the medications in your home. Take note of how many pills are in each bottle. If a bottle's supposed to last for 2 weeks and it's out in 4 days, you know something's wrong. Also monitor medications in especially elderly relatives or relatives who are incapacitated in some way. Try to monitor that, and don't feel like you're sounding preachy, but you have to share this information. Because if somebody has access to that, again, the demand is out there. One in four kids is using or has used. So the demand is out there. We have to really, really take care of our medication. So now what? What can we do? Obviously, be educated and aware. Take notice of what our kids are doing, talking about. Check up with Facebook. Kids don't really use Facebook as much anymore. That's for what they call grandparents. But check out all their social media, Instagram, anything else they're using. Make sure you're familiar with all the apps they're using on their phone and what they have access to and what they're seeing, because the marketers, as we've seen, are out there, and they're looking, and they know this game. They know how to reach the kids. And if we're not educated, say a kid does come to us and asks a question, or a peer comes to us and asks a question, and we don't have the answer, we have to make sure we're always educated, because if we give misinformation, then we're just furthering the problem. And then learn how to talk to your youth about drugs. It's so, so very important that we talk to our youth about drugs. I know I've heard this so many times from different people across Texas and the United States, too, is that I don't want to talk to my kids about drugs because I'm afraid I'm going to teach them something. Well, unfortunately, they could probably teach you guys about something. People that say that, they can teach you. And they're learning, and you want them to learn from you. You want them to learn the actual information versus they're going to learn it from someone else. And that someone else is going to be one of their peers, probably, who has misinformation, and it spreads. And that's how they grow up, starting to use because they think it's safe, and now they're developing addictions, and now we have a problem. So we have to talk to our youth and learn how to talk to them in an age-appropriate manner about drugs and drug use. So, questions and discussion. My contact information, by the way, if you have any other questions that you don't want to say right now, but please do share your questions now. But my contact information is on the end of the slides. Also, there's a brief survey, I think, coming up from Alan. Yep.
To help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you're a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in this survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions, and your individual responses to the survey will be kept confidential. Please tell us to the degree to which you agree or disagree with the following statements. This session taught me about new drugs that are currently being used. If you strongly agree, press star 1. If you agree, press star 2. If you disagree, press star 3. And if you strongly disagree, press star 4. Again, that question. This session taught me about new drugs that are currently being used. If you strongly agree, press star 1. If you agree, press star 2. If you disagree, press star 3. And if you strongly disagree, press star 4. We'll pause for just a moment. Our next question. This session educated me about how to recognize these drugs in stores or at home. Again, if you strongly agree, press star 1. If you agree, press star 2. If you disagree, press star 3. And if you strongly disagree, press star 4. My question is, this session educated me about how to recognize these drugs in stores or at home. If you strongly agree with that statement, press star 1. If you agree, press star 2. If you disagree, press star 3. And if you strongly disagree, press star 4. We'll pause for just another moment. Overall, this session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. If you strongly agree, press star 1. If you agree, press star 2. If you disagree, press star 3. And if you strongly disagree, press star 4. Again, that statement is, overall, this session met my expectations. If you strongly agree with that statement, press star 1. If you agree, press star 2. If you disagree, press star 3. And if you strongly disagree, press star 4. I would recommend this program to others. Press star 1 if you agree, or star 2 if you do not agree. Once again, if you would recommend this program to others, press star 1. And if you would not recommend this program to others, press star 2. Please select the response that best describes the role, your role in the life of an individual with substance abuse issues. If you are a person with a substance abuse issue, press star 1. If you are a family member of someone who has a substance abuse issue, press star 2. If you're a treatment provider with someone who has a substance abuse issue, press star 3. Or if it's something else, press star 4. Again, those options are, I am a person with a substance abuse issue, press star 1. I am a family member of a person with a substance abuse issue, press star 2. I am a treatment provider of someone with a substance abuse issue, that's star 3. And if it's other, press star 4. Thank you for your feedback and participating in our survey. And now if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the chance to signal. And we do have a question from our listeners. Caller, please go ahead. Your line is open.
You know, I did not catch the website for that PowerPoint presentation, and I totally missed all the pictures. So I'm going to type it down right now if someone can provide that.
Yeah, let me read. I can find it. It's, I think Amy's on mute. One second.
Oh, no, I can give it to you.
Okay.
It's www.cigna.com/substance abuse. And then you, right under the picture is the link to today's presentation. And when you click on that, it expands, and then you can click on the handout that way, the PowerPoint.
Okay, thank you.
All right, once again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll pause for another moment. Did have another caller queue up. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Caller, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, I had a question about monitoring websites. And so I've been dealing with a daughter with addiction for years, and K2 is the most recent. And I'm just wondering, how is the government able to keep up? Do they even try to monitor these websites and shut the sites down?
Yeah, it definitely, there's a lot of push. See, the interesting thing is because the host, the server, back with the backbone of it will be one place, and so they'll just change domain names very quickly. And as soon as one shuts down, another pops up. And because of the social media aspect of it, they can get that quickly disseminated out to everyone when something pops down. And so it becomes very difficult. A lot of it's offshore as well. So it's just very hard for them to keep up with trying to shut down all those websites because they can pop up so much quick.
Okay. Thank you. And I can just say for the group, we've been detoxing from this now for about 2 weeks. It is the scariest thing probably that I've been through is K2.
Yep.
And one more time. That is star 1. If you'd like to ask a question, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Go to our next caller. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if home drug test kits would detect the items discussed today, such as K2, and do you have any warnings about using home test kits?
Yes, I have both for you. There are some kits that are coming out now that can test for K2. Now, the issue is twofold. One is that they're very expensive to use, and that's one thing I didn't mention, but thank you for mentioning that, is one of the reasons K2 becomes so popular is because it's very hard to test for. And so for users of marijuana or somebody is trying to get that high, that becomes a big appeal for them. But the kits are very expensive, and also depending on which chemical compound it is, it might not catch. And so there's a lot of risk reward there. If you invest enough to get that home kit, you're not still 100% sure you're catching it. If it's being used. So I would say go for it if you're willing to make that risk. But it is, unfortunately, we're not at the stage now where we have just a very easy kit, like with regular marijuana, to use and home test with.
Thank you.
And one last time, the star 1 to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time, so I'd like to turn the call back over to Ms. Amy Papageorge for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you so much for attending, and thank you, Justin, for speaking today. If you have additional questions for Justin, please contact him at the web address listed on today's PowerPoint. If you have specific questions regarding treatment or your policy, please contact the outpatient team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Our next seminar will be September 17th. If you haven't already done so, feel free to listen to the replays of any of the past year's seminars, and be sure to sign up to receive automatic email reminders for our upcoming sessions. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's call. We thank everyone again for their participation.